Miss Denise Poe. Who's taking the question? Yeah, sorry, Minister Indradi.
Mr. Speaker, the International Institute for Management Development, the IMD, World Talent Ranking, measures how economies perform in developing homegrown talent, attracting and retaining overseas talent, and building the skills and competencies of their labour force. It provides a perspective of how Singapore is perceived vis-à-vis the other economies as a global talent hub. One key driver behind the change in Singapore's ranking in 2025 was in perception-based factors or indicators, in particular, how business executives viewed adequacy of apprenticeships, their perceptions of companies' prioritization of employee training, and their confidence in Singapore's ability to avoid brain drain. We will analyze these findings, as well as other relevant data, carefully to better understand the underlying causes and see where and how we can do better. Singapore's performance should also be seen in context. For example, demographic realities limit how much we can grow our workforce. As such, our slowing labour force growth in 2024 resulted in a fall in the related indicator. On the other hand, although we were ranked 63rd in terms of our public expenditure on education as a share of GDP, we were second in the same survey on education outcomes, i.e. the PISA score. This is testament to our cost-effective public spending on education. Singapore will continue to welcome talent who complement our own capabilities. We will, at the same time, press on with our priority in developing our local workforce. By investing in our people, enhancing our business environment, strengthening our connectivity, and fostering a vibrant tech and innovation ecosystem, we're confident that Singapore will remain a leading global talent hub.
Ms. Poe.
I thank the Minister for her response. Thank you for mentioning that the survey, the findings are based on perceptions. Indeed, perception, sometimes they say, is reality unless we clarify or correct them. So let me just, I have two supplementary questions, and based on the remarks actually that are made by the directors from IMD. One is on under the pillar of investments and development. I'm baffled why the report cites that we have cited that we have low education investment when education actually is known to be one of the highest items in our annual budget. And especially, I wonder if the report has incorporated, considered factors like the hefty investments that we've made in adults' continued training and education and skills future and so forth. So that's one. And also at the same time, a director mentioned from IMD that Singapore has done more than enough despite the low, so-called relatively low education investment. So that's one. The second SQ pertains to the pillar of appeal. The report also cited that because organizations are relocating to relatively low-cost countries, in especially near, neighboring countries, it claims that companies therefore could get a similar quality workforce for a much lower price in these countries. And I'd like to hear Minister's comment on this, on whether that's indeed true or is it just a comment on Singapore.
Minister Indradi.
So I thank the member for her supplementary questions, and if I may just, before I address the specific questions, just set out a bit of a better understanding of the IMD World Competitiveness Report. The first thing that I wanted to say was that it measures competitiveness across different countries and economies. And on this, actually, although our ranking had dropped, we are actually still in the top 10. So in other words, Singapore is still, in this report, ranked the 7th most talent-competitive economy in 2025 out of 69 economies in 2025. And whilst this is a drop from second place in 2024, actually our general ranking has been on the uptrend over the last decade. So in 2016, for example, we were 15th, then 2017, 13th, 2018, 13th, and we've been climbing up steadily. And then in 2024, it was second, and now it's 2025. So we've had a few up and downs, but overall the trend has been upwards, and we're still in the top 10. That's the first point I want to make. Then the second point to make is how do they measure or this competitiveness? It assesses the 69 economies across using the following three factors. First, investment and development. That evaluates the investment in and the development of homegrown talent. Then it looks at appeal, which measures the ability to attract and retain overseas talent. And third, it looks at readiness, which assesses whether the existing talent pool meets current and future needs. So you've got those three factors. And then let's look and see how we did on these three factors, which will, whilst addressing this, it will also address your supplementary question. So the first, on investment and development in local talent. Our weaker performance in the report on this factor was contributed by perception factors, decline in perception-based indicators on employee training and apprenticeships, and also the second one was low public expenditure on education as a percentage of GDP. We went from 63rd to 65th, and pupil-teacher ratio. Now, on the expenditure on education, actually, that's not very different from last year's report. So that hasn't been much of a shift. These indicators, the part on education as a percentage of GDP, have traditionally weighed down our rankings across the years. And that seems to be because they look to see how much you put in, whereas actually for us, it's not only just how much you put in, it's also the outcomes. So it doesn't seem to give enough weight to the value for money part. And also, the indicator that's used in the IMD report on education investment is on public expenditure on education as a percentage of GDP. So given Singapore's relatively high GDP, the percentage figure will naturally appear lower compared to other countries. But this doesn't mean that our actual investment in education is small. Singapore consistently allocates one of the largest portions of our annual budget to education, as you have pointed out, including substantial investments through initiatives such as Skills Future. And in fact, our total public expenditure on education per student, rather than as a percentage of GDP, remains relatively high. In the same IMD report, we were ranked 17th this year on this indicator. And our pupil-teacher ratio is still comparable to OECD averages and to that of countries like US, UK, Germany, Korea, and Japan. So I think these indicators do not fully capture the strength of our education system. Our outcomes remain strong in education, as reflected in the international benchmarks. So on this first factor, it's more the perception-based indicators on employee training and apprenticeships that pulled the ranking down. Then the second factor on appeal, actually on many of the traditional considerations, we remain largely the same. That's for management, fair administration of justice. Those continue to be pull factors. The things that weighed us down on appeal were perception-based indicators on worker retention. There was a fall in executives' perception for indicators such as worker motivation in companies. And secondly, a high cost of living. That one didn't move that much, though. It was from 63 to 65th. Singapore ranked 65th, which is comparable to other overall top performers like Switzerland and the UAE, and ahead of Hong Kong. And so this indicator has traditionally weighed down our overall ranking over the years, but it's not a key factor pulling down the ranking in 2025. And then the perception for, and then the third factor, readiness. Our performance in the readiness factor was actually relatively steady. And for this one, it reflected our strong education system serving as a notable strength. Singapore ranked highly in PISA, as well as the proportion of STEM graduates. And the surveys also affirmed that our primary and secondary and university education meets the needs of the competitive economy. In fact, those improved. But the areas of decline under readiness was labour force growth, I addressed that earlier, and perception indicators on availability of skilled labour and specific skill sets and expertise. So in summary, the things which affected our ranking this year was perception on employee training and apprenticeships, labour force growth, and the perception of the availability of skilled labour. I think education remains largely the same.